You have your Bibles, open them to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and we'll consider a Christmas prayer. Well, everybody take a deep breath. Inhale, exhale. It's Christmas Eve. Valley Park Center is still open, I believe, till 6 today. Just be here in time for the candlelight at 6 o'clock tonight. But you know, it's Christmas Eve, and you know, there's perhaps a few things on our minds today, and then Christmas Day tomorrow. But the wonderful thing about Sunday is we can come together, take a deep breath, and just think about the true meaning of the season. And it truly is about the fact that as the angel told Mary and Joseph, the baby is conceived of the Holy Spirit. This child is the Son of God, and name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And I want us to think about the true meaning of the name of Jesus, and I think it really comes out in this story that Jesus himself would tell in Luke chapter 18. And of all the stories that Jesus tells, this one is a church story, you might say. It's about a couple of guys going to church, and they both pray. And I want to hone in on a short little prayer that's prayed in verse 13, Luke chapter 18 and verse 13. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven. But he beat upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, have mercy on me, for I am just a sinner. This short little prayer, I believe, helps us understand the true meaning of not only the name of Jesus, but the meaning of his ministry, why he was born, why he lived, why he came to die on that cross. And I hope today that you'll understand we're going to look at two sinners in this story, and there's one Savior. Two sinners and one Savior. One thing we all have in common today as we gather here on this Christmas Eve, we all gather as sinful people. And as sinners, we must fully rely on the mercy of God demonstrated through the coming of Jesus, broken, aware of our sin, willing, eager to make confession, rather than depending on our own identity, our own accomplishments, living with a false sense of security based on our own seeming self-righteousness. There are two sinners in this story. And I want you to look into this story with me here. It's just a few verses, Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 9 and going to verse 14. We see a Pharisee who he comes with a false sense of security. He comes with this seeming self-confidence in his own self-righteousness. But then there's another sinner in the story, a tax collector who just simply prays, God, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. Humble, broken, and all he can do is just plead for mercy. Two sinners, one Savior, keep in mind, Jesus Christ, who came to save sinners, one Savior who's telling the story. Let's notice, first of all, one sinner's pride. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 9, Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. These sinners treated others with contempt. And Jesus began, so two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you. I thank you, God, that I'm not like all other men, I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. And thank you, God, that I'm not like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. Period. Amen. End of his prayer. Both of these sinners, I want us to see in both of them their identity, their accomplishments, and their heart. Notice the identity, first of all, of this sinner, the Pharisee. I thank you, God. Now, the prayer starts out rather good. God, I thank you. But unfortunately, it's what comes next that helps us see his identity. I thank you that I'm not like all other people. I thank you that I'm not like the cheaters, the unjust, the unfaithful. And of all people in the time of Jesus Christ in the first century, probably the guys that got the worst reputation of it all, those evil, wicked tax collectors that would come around stealing your money. I thank you that I'm not like this, the most evil of all evil people in the world. Thank you, God, that I'm not like this tax collector. What's interesting about his prayer, Joel Green would say it this way. Ironically, the Pharisee's prayer begins like a thanksgiving psalm, but he never enumerates the divine actions for which one is thankful. Give thanks because the Lord is good. Give thanks because his love endures forever. No, no. Lord, I thank you. Oh, and I can't really think of anything that you've done, but let me just say, I thank you that I'm not like all of these other people. His identity was all in his own self-righteousness. Think about his accomplishments. Verse 12. Obviously, we know that he came to pray. And as a good Pharisee, he probably came to pray on a very regular basis. I pray. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. Now, before we criticize this guy too much, you know, let's acknowledge that he is a praying man. He does believe in fasting. He is a man that gives. He says, I tithe of all that I get. But unfortunately, wrapped up in his accomplishments is this sense of my life is so impressive. As I look back on my life, Lord, all that I have done for you, all that I am doing for you. Matter of fact, Lord, I'm just so thankful that I can stand here today and know that there's nothing in my life that's unpleasing to you. Lord, I can stand here today knowing that I'm righteous, thankful that I'm not unrighteous like all the other people in the world. And Lord, I'm thankful that I can stand here and justify myself before the world. He makes a good case for himself, does he not? He lines up his accomplishments. He helps God understand how, in fact, good he is. But in all of these two sinners, there's also a heart that we must consider. There's a proverb that goes like this, "Be not wise in your own eyes." If anyone fulfilled the meaning of this proverb, it was the Pharisee. For in his own eyes, He was the wisest person in the room. But unfortunately, what does pride do to our hearts? Notice for this Pharisee, sin had hardened his heart. Pride dulls the pain of sin. It's like a heart that's become callous. A calloused heart that's so hard on the outside, the pain of sin is long, long gone. And he cannot feel any more the effects of his own sin. His heart is hard. Pride dulls the heart and the pain. But also sin blinds.